I'm laughing to myself. I just had a Bill O'Reilly moment. He's the gentleman on Fox who sometimes asks questions, and people say that he beats him up, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, but it made me feel good that someone accused me of that, because a lot of times I get the emails that I'm too soft. So it's nice for me to get beat up about being too soft, being too hard. It's fun. It's very fun. Kevin Karpinski from the MEA is here. He represents unions on campus for LCC, MSU, Mott, and Baker. And we were talking about the challenges that the MEA has had that other unions also have had with getting contracts done at Lansing Community College. And I got a couple more questions for Kevin. Thanks so much for staying with us.
Sure.
All right, so we're sitting down at the table. Let's say Representative Opsomer, who's here, is representing LCC, and I don't know, I'm the mediator, and you're representing the unions. What goes on? Tell us the process when they sit down, what they're trying to accomplish, and what are some of the things talked about, and how do you negotiate?
Well, there are identified proposals from both sides of the table that are presented formally, or in some cases in an interest-based approach where you collaboratively talk across the table, find a middle point, and then try and reduce the language to writing that basically memorializes what the agreement was that you can sign off on. More traditional approach is proposal, counterproposal, caucusing, and trying to come to an agreement in writing with a lot of language changes that you can then sign off on. And then ultimately, as you knock off paragraphs and articles of the contract, you get to everybody. The joke is we're done except for wages and benefits.
Yeah.
Those are usually the end point or the final process.
Now, is most of that work done on email, phone calls, or whatever, and then when you come to the table, you formally do, or do you hammer that out at the table?
There's a lot of caucus time in between sessions. At the table, your goal is to be prepared so you can actually make an efficient use of your time so that you're not playing catch up every time you meet face to face. So there is a lot of in between after hours meetings.
Now, when you talk hard numbers, when you start talking about salaries and whatnot, does the MEA say, look, this is where we got a hole. You don't get this, Kevin. You're going to be raking leaves with Tony permanently. How's that work?
You know, a lot of times it's misconstrued that we're all about wages and benefits. The fact is, on the campus of LCC, there are only about 300 and some full-time faculty. A lot of people don't realize there are 1,600 or 13 or 1,400 of part-time faculty, that some of them only teach a class or two a week. They're patching together classes as well as other jobs. They're scraping by, many of the faculty members. So a lot of it is holding on to what we have and maybe making some gains so that we could maybe have something that these part-time faculty could move into, more full-time positions. And then we have a lot of lower compensated employees that are making $9 an hour that on a part-time basis or even full-time, trying to maintain their benefits and not move into food stamps.
Now, the folks at LCC are going to say, well, you know, Kevin, you know, we're having a hard time here. We're not getting as much money from the state as we have in the past, and we've had to cut back, and we need you to help us here. You're going to have to cut back some too, and what we give you is going to have to be less because we're getting less. And even though we're going to take this $2.5 million and buy the Oliver Towers, you know, we're looking to grow over here, but we're hurting, and we need you to hurt with us.
Well, the facts speak differently. When you have a $5 million cash reserve for 2 years in a row, $2.5 million, then what are you going to do with the other $2.5 million? I think, you know, we're in a service business. We're not making things. We're not talking about profit margin. This is a public school, a community college that has made some changes, and they've even contracted out their aviation flight school to Eastern Michigan at higher lab fees than what their own faculty proposed a few years ago to keep it in-house with slightly increased lab fees for students. Those types of decisions are really what's driving a lot of these, contentious feelings between staff, faculty, and the LCC administration simply because of their effect on students. I mean, our negotiations, they play second fiddle compared to the impact on the students.
Well, as you know, unions get hammered, especially by some public perception. And there is a perception out there that the MEA is just trying to push its agenda forward, trying to take care of its teachers. That's what it's supposed to do. But yet here they are involved with the recall of Representative Scott, and they're spending money there. Well, if you really care about the students and about the teachers, instead of spending the money on these recalls and other issues, put it back into the teachers and the kids.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Scott recall. There were over 12,000 signatures, only 2,000 of which were MEA members. So a lot of times we're misconstrued as being the driver of that recall effort, which is simply not the case when you add up the number of signatures of people who live in that House district. When it comes to, money, it's 90%, my personal belief, 90% of the conflict or contentious relations in K-12 education or higher education has to do with funding. It's amazing what happens when you throw money at education. Look at the Kalamazoo Promise. I know that their labor relations strife has gone down to almost nothing. We have teachers who are in Benton Harbor or even out in the rurals around the greater Lansing area that have had pay freezes for 3 or 4 years. They're living under the national guidelines for poverty. They're eligible for food stamps. And these are new teachers. These are the people that are revered in other cultures as the most revered person in the community. And we treat them as if they're second-class citizens. So when we talk about who we're representing, a lot of times we have part-time teacher aides or food service folks that are barely struggling. We know support staff people that are actually handing over paychecks to their employer because they're just trying to work for benefits.
Okay.
So we get misconstrued as representing all about, higher level compensation employees, when actually we represent everybody.
Final question for you. Do you believe that Governor Snyder and his administrator support teachers, that they believe teachers should be compensated in a fair way? Do you think that this culture is starting to gain more respect for teachers here in the state of Michigan?
I believe that the culture that there's more respect for teachers and service sector like firefighters, police, our nurses and teachers as well. I believe the proof is in the pudding, as they say, and I guess it remains to be seen what the outcome will be. I mean, we have a lot of initiatives to completely destroy unions in this state, legislation that's being proposed. So I guess we'll see what's signed off or what, it's one thing to be against right to work, as Governor Snyder has stated, and that claiming that he hasn't stated that. He stated that he would not sign any legislation, but if it's in front of him and he lets it sit there without signing it, it could go into law. So I guess it remains to be seen what's going to occur down the road here.
So in essence, put your money and your actions where your mouth are.
Yeah, I believe that's a biblical term.
Thanks so much, Kevin.